Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of High Velocity Radio. And these are my favorite. These are the Thought Leader Radio episodes where we interview the best and the brightest doing the most interesting things. And Katie, this is no exception. It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Next up on Thought Leader Radio, we got Barbara Maiden, and she is with Young Maiden. Barbara, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about Young Maiden? How are you serving folks?
Young Maiden is a legal search firm, which means we do recruiting of lawyers, moving lawyers around law firms, you know, anything lawyers do. We've done this for about 10 years. My partner and I practiced law for about 30 years each. And after we decided we knew just about every lawyer in the country, we thought we would help them be in the right place.
Now, what's the kind of the outlook for lawyers in America nowadays? Is that a good industry to be in?
Well, it depends. It can be. It is a very different entity than it was, say, 20 years ago. And it's good for those who want what it offers now. It is much more of a business than it used to be. It's still a profession, but the business model has seeped in. And if you are willing to, or you want to, yes, do the professional, which is first, and also understand the business of it, that it's a fine profession.
Now, when you're saying that it's kind of evolved a little bit, are you saying that at one point, like, lawyers could just focus on lawyering, and now they have to focus somewhat on selling?
Absolutely. You said it in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. I guess we could end it now, because that's exactly what's going on. When I started practicing law in Atlanta many, many years ago, you went to a law firm. You were sort of raised up in a law firm. The law firms had institutional clients, and you served those institutional clients. Nobody went out and actually tried to get business, because that was, I would say, considered unseemly in the learned professions. Clients came to you because you were a good lawyer, or more likely because it's a law firm they've been going to for, the last 100 years. You know, when I practiced in Atlanta, there were businesses and law firms that grew up together. King and Spalding and Coca-Cola and Trust Company Bank, they were basically one and the same. Things are different now. Institutional loyalties aren't so institutional or loyal anymore. And lawyers are expected to go out and learn how to get clients.
Now, is that something they're being taught in law school nowadays, or is that something they got to kind of learn on the fly once they start working?
Well, that's a great question. Slowly, law schools are getting the picture. I actually, twice a year, teach a class at University of Michigan, one class, and it's my class is basically how to succeed as an associate, how to go out and get business, how to do all that. Law firms are slowly getting to the point where they're training their associates to do that. There are some law firms that actually will not give a bonus to an associate if that, very few. This is just one that I know of that hasn't done a marketing plan. So they're starting to teach that, but generally you need to be pretty self-starting and just go out and do it on your own.
Now, in your business, are you working with kind of veteran lawyers who are moving either a different city or a different specialty? Or, like, what is the profile of your clients typically?
The profile of our client is a lawyer in any setting. All we do is lawyers or people in law-based organizations. We place lawyers in law firms and in corporations and in not-for-profits. We have a funny little specialty where we place executive directors of bar associations. you know, we've placed the executive director of the American Bar Association, you know, doing, we've done Texas and Florida and Tennessee and North Carolina. I'm currently working on California. So anything legal related, we can help.
Now, does that include the person right out of college?
That's a good question. Out of law school, no. Right out of law school, no. There is a procedure in place where law firms, law departments hire through law firms. Nobody's going to pay a recruiter to give them a freshly minted lawyer. That's just a different process. A couple of years out, there's a lot more lateral mobility. It used to be you started at a law firm, you made partner or didn't, and if you didn't make partner, you would be discreetly placed in one of those institutional clients, legal departments, and then continue to send business to the law firm.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much anymore. Lawyers are just like clients aren't as institutional anymore. Lawyers are now much more mobile and move around, and that's what we facilitate.
So now, what are some of the things a lawyer could do to get your attention where you would say, okay, this is a good prospect, I'll be able to place his person?
Another great question. A lot of times lawyers think that when they have grabbed the brass ring, when they've gotten that great job in a law firm, then sort of the calling is over. But it's not true. Once you become a young lawyer in a law firm, it's really important to differentiate yourself, to show why you're different than any other lawyer in the law firm. And you do that by expertizing yourself, becoming an expert in whatever area of law it's going to be. And you have to do it yourself. Nobody's going to say, all right, we're going to make this person an expert in this or that, because lawyers have become much more commodities, sort of interchangeable. So the young lawyer who goes out and asks for work, gets out and gets involved in bar associations or whatever, and gets him or herself on panels and writes articles and becomes expert in an area, that's really important. And those are people who are much easier to place laterally. Also, as you get older, unfortunately, what you know and how good a lawyer you are becomes less important than how much business you're going to be bringing the new firm. This whole thing about expertizing yourself and that's all preliminary to getting clients and what can you bring to the new firm.
And that kind of information is probably counterintuitive for most lawyers, right? Because they think the law is kind of a big thing, and you're saying to really specialize and be a specialist rather than a generalist. And then within that, when you become a specialist, then you become a thought leader, an expert. And then because of that, then you can attract clients within that specialty.
Right. Well, it's being excellent and being very good at what you do is not that it's unimportant. It's that's the threshold.
So those are like table stakes, is that you're going to be able to bring in a certain amount of business.
Exactly. The more senior you get, if you're very junior, if you're 3 or 4 years out of law school, it's really not expected that you're going to come toting a book of business. But the more senior you are, the more that's going to be a threshold requirement. Unless you're somebody, I refer to it as a square peg and a square hole. If a law firm, they just got a new piece of labor and employment business, and if they just are desperate for somebody to help do the work, you know what? If you don't have business, you still may be able to qualify for that position or be looked at for that position.
Right, because there's a desperate need for that skill set,
exactly.
And you have
exactly.
It.
Exactly. If the senior partner gets hit by a bus, how are we going to cover all that work?
Right, the work still has to be done.
Exactly.
Now, as you've seen the industry evolve, what are you seeing does the future have? Is it just more and more specialization, more and more like it sounds like importance of sales skills are equal, if not at least equal, of what your lawyer skills are at this stage.
Well, again, your lawyer skills are a threshold, and presumably you're not going to have a lot of clients or have that book of business if you're not a dang good lawyer. So that's a threshold. You have to have both.
Right.
With respect to the narrowing and the specialization, it's something you got to be very careful about, because you can get so narrow that your skills are no longer transferable. It used to be when a lawyer went to a bigger law firm, you would sort of move around the different areas, and they would find, you'd find what you like to do, and then you would start doing it like general corporate, generally tax or litigation or what it is, whatever it is. Now, law firms are paying so much for young talent, they want them to be as productive as quickly as possible. So there is an emphasis on getting narrower and narrower. The problem with that is when it's time to leave, and lawyers are getting the path to partnership isn't as clear as it used to be. So when it's time to leave and all you've ever done is some very narrow area of the law, you're much less marketable than somebody who has a broader perspective. So I always encourage young lawyers to resist being pigeonholed. And how do you do that? You go out and you ask for work that's going to broaden your skills. Everybody likes somebody who's so eager. They come up to you and say, "Barbara, yeah, I hear you're just like the best healthcare lawyer there is, and I'd love to work with you." Well, you know, that's going to get somebody's attention. So you go out and ask for the work you get, and it's likely to help you get a broad experience before you start narrowing in.
Now, are there certain kind of sectors that you recommend right now that are that make you more attractive?
Well, sure. The problem is it's all very cyclical. Right now, you know, general litigation lawyers have a harder time. And if you are a real estate syndication lawyer, a lot of people are looking for that. And you know why they're looking for that is a few years ago, if you recall, there was a big downturn, and nobody was training finance lawyers, real estate finance lawyers. And so guess what? Now that it's come back, there's a shortage. So, you know, sometimes antitrust is a real hot area. Sometimes it's not. Right now, you know, certain things are fairly recession proof. Famous last words. Healthcare. People are always going to get sick.
Right.
And there'll always be regulation in healthcare. You know, maybe that's recession proof, but you never know. So what's hot today may not be hot tomorrow.
What about the entrepreneurial lawyers? Is there a path for them?
Sure. It depends what you mean by entrepreneurial. I mean, you can be entrepreneurial within a law firm and go out and get clients and create your own niche and specialty. That's entrepreneurial. But also, a great way to be entrepreneurial is, as the old saying is, you go hang out a shingle. And it's scary, but it is entrepreneurial. You can build something. You can do what you want to do. You can have a very tough boss yourself, as somebody who has left the comfort of a law firm and started a business. The scariest part is when you want to call computer support and you find out that you are computer support. But yeah, absolutely. And it's something that really doesn't occur to many people, that they could actually just go out and hang out a shingle and learn as you go.
Now, what about the a third area of entrepreneurialism that I was thinking about was like for startups or getting involved as a counsel for the startup community. Is that a niche?
Sure, absolutely. And usually the startups are looking for somebody who has some experience in a law firm and can give guidance for the entrepreneurial people who are starting the business, sort of a grown-up in the room. And that's very attractive to a lot of people, and I know a lot of lawyers who have left the comfort of a law firm and thrown in with startups and have just been very happy in doing that.
Are you seeing more and more of the kind of more established law firms at least kind of playing in that space as well as being a resource to some startups or some startup incubators or accelerators in Nashville?
Absolutely. In Nashville and around the country. There's a young lawyer that I know who was practicing at a big firm in Seattle and threw in with a bunch of entrepreneurs and as a partner has started companies all over the United States. So, and in Nashville, you know, that, for example, the area of Bitcoin and
right, the cryptocurrencies.
Exactly. You know what? That's tough stuff to learn. But law firms have people there who are expert in the area, give advice, and sometimes what happens is, it just happened, I don't know of a firm in Nashville where one of the young stars at a firm just left to help start up a new Bitcoin startup. So, yeah, it happens all the time. And you know what? Law firms, they think it's okay because as these smart, young, entrepreneurial lawyers leave to do this, who are they going to go to? Who are they going to send the business to when they have something bigger than what can be done internally? They can go back to the firm that fed them,
right,
firm that trained them.
So now, what's a day in the life look like for you? Are you on the phone all the time? Or are people just calling you because they need help finding attorneys?
I get calls from both ends. I get calls from workplaces that need lawyers. I get calls from lawyers looking for workplaces. So the trick is to make the match. And it's really is making a match. I sort of think of myself as a yenta, as a matchmaker, because different jobs, different firms, different corporations look for, you know, different people are going to enjoy that environment. It's in nobody's best interest to place a lawyer just because he or she has the skills in a firm where that atmosphere, whatever the culture is in that firm, isn't going to fit with what that lawyer wants. So my job is to make sure, not make sure, but do my best to find out what that lawyer is looking for, what kind of culture is in the firm itself, and see if I can't make the match.
And that's just as important as having the skills, right? Is that culture fit?
Absolutely. You know, I tell the story about there was a lawyer at a firm actually in Atlanta, and he was with the firm, and I was describing another firm to him about, it's really very interesting, this firm on the spectrum of law firms was way on one end of the spectrum. They didn't care how much business you brought, et cetera, et cetera. Their attitude was, if you're a good lawyer, the business will come, et cetera, et cetera. And on the other end of the scale are firms that I refer to as eat what you kill firms, that you only make what you bring in. So that's, and so I was talking to this lawyer about this firm where nobody cared about your originations and whatever, how great that would be. And he says, oh, I know that firm, those communists. Then I realized he would be a terrible fit at that firm. He'd hate it.
Right.
Where other people love it. And he's now at a firm, which is a fabulous firm. And it's very, it's all about, you know, you get paid what you bring, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got to find the right place for the right people. One's not good or bad. It's just a question of where a particular person is going to feel most comfortable.
Right, and really flourish. I mean,
and flourish, exactly. In fact, you're not going to flourish in a place where you don't like coming to work every day.
Right. And then how do you kind of figure out what's the culture of these firms? Like, how do you kind of do a deep dive into what makes them tick?
Well, one thing you do is just be around forever. You know, I've just been around a long time, and I know people in all, in every firm, it feels like, and you just know. And now with the advent of, there are these legal publications, there are articles and et cetera, you can figure out pretty quickly about what a law firm is like. Maybe less so a corporate law department, but with a law firm, yes. When I'm doing a search for a legal organization, I always say that when I leave the search, I know more about the legal organization, when I'm talking like a bar association, than anybody, because I interview staff, I interview lawyers, I just really dig in to understand what makes it tick and what the need is.
So now, can you share maybe some do's and don'ts for attorneys if they're considering using the services of a recruiter? What are some questions they should ask you, and what should they be prepared for?
Sure. Everybody, after about 3 years of practice, is going to start getting cold calls from recruiters. And people say, well, should I take those calls? The answer is yes. Talk, listen, always listen. So the do's and don'ts. First of all, it's very important that you maintain control over your resume. The worst thing you can do is if you decide, all right, I want to pick up and move to Atlanta. Some recruiter calls, you give them your resume, and that resume, you've got to control where the resume goes. You do not want someone to paper every law firm in Atlanta with your resume for a lot of reasons. But it's, so you have to make it very clear that, yes, you can have my resume, but you may only distribute it when I give you a specific okay to do so. Then you need to find out whether the recruiter is somebody who is respected in the community, somebody that knows what they're doing, et cetera, and not just sending your resume cold to people. How do you do that? Well, there's an association, the National Association of Legal Search Consultants, and are they a member? There's a code of ethics that you have to subscribe to as a member of that organization. So is this recruiter's firm a member of that organization? Just do your diligence and be sure that the legal recruiter is going to be the type of person that your potential employer is going to be dealing with.
Now, Barbara, if somebody wanted to learn more about your firm, is there a website?
There is, cleverly named www.youngmaiden, youngmaiden.com. We thought this was a great name. My partner's name is Ken Young. I'm Barbara Maiden. And so, Young Maiden. Well, what we didn't realize is now when we send out emails, it more likely than not gets stuck in spam filter. But but that's the website, youngmaiden.com.
And then, so the people that should go to this are attorneys. Is it appropriate for somebody who wants to move to contact you directly, or is it better if they're found by you?
No. You know, our tagline for Young Maiden is connecting lawyers we know with workplaces we understand. So we do very little what's called cold calling. We're not the ones that pick. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it, with the cold calling. But people reach out to us, and we get to know the candidates that reach out to us. We talk to them on the phone. We have something we call a personal audit form, asking them questions. So, of course, anybody can reach out, whether it be a lawyer considering whether he or she wants to make a move, or somebody from a law firm or law department who is looking to hire somebody.
Well, Barbara, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
And if you want to learn more about Young Maiden, again, the website is youngmaiden.com, youngmaiden.com. That was Barbara Maiden. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Thought Leader Radio.